You let them sing. You just mind God, preacher. Yes, amen. Yes, so it's good to have them here with us.
Shall I take from your hand your blessings, yet not welcome any pain? Shall I thank you for days of sunshine, yet grumble in days of rain? Shall I love you in times of plenty, then leave you in days of drought? Shall I trust when I reap a harvest, but when winter winds blow, then doubt? Oh, let your will be done in me. In your love I will abide. Glorified, are you good only when I prosper, and true only when I'm filled? Are you king only when I'm carefree, and God only when poor and needy? You are true when I'm parched and dry. You still reign in the deepest valley. You're still God in the darkest night. Oh, let your will be done in me. In your love I will abide, for I long for nothing else as long as you are glorified. So quiet my restless heart, quiet my restless heart, quiet my restless heart in you. Oh, let your will be done in me. In your love I will abide, for I long for nothing else as long as you are glorified.
Amen. Tonight, and it's a blessing to be with God's people. And I enjoyed being here tonight already. Yeah. And all the singing and seeing the kids and the families, and that is such a blessing. And it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to our family. We travel around to different churches when we're on our furloughs, and not every church is like this, I can tell you that. And but it's the grace of God, and so we praise the Lord for that. And but you do pray for us. We've been in Zambia now 13 years. We're going back September the 6th, so not too far away. And how many's been to Zambia before? Okay, I thought so, yes. We're good friends with Brother Barnhouse. When Brother Barnhouse was over there, he was about 7 or 8 hours north up in Kalalushi area. And so when he would come to Lusaka, we would fellowship quite a bit. So I got to know him quite well over there. And but I think most of y'all are very familiar with Zambia. So we're in the capital city. Now, the capital city of Lusaka has over 4 million people now. I think Zambia has over 20 million people. The capital city is growing by like 200,000 people per year. And just people's just flocking to that major hub. And God's blessed us there. We've been involved directly with 3 different church plants. And our primary place of ministry is in an area called Kinyama. That's where we spent most of our time. And it's got about 600,000 people in about a 6-square-mile area. And Lord's blessed there. We have a deaf school. And then we also have a Christian school. We have about 350 kids in that. And then God's opened up some other doors in the southern province of Zambia to train some bush pastors and so forth. So we're working down there a bit also. But if you have your Bibles tonight, turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And before we, you can keep your place there in Exodus chapter 32. But I'm going to read a verse from Psalms chapter 103, verse number 7. The Bible says this: He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Before we go further, allow me just to have a word of prayer. Amen. Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd help me even now, God. Fill me with Your Spirit, Lord. I need your help tonight. And Lord, I pray that everything that comes out of my mouth tonight would be a blessing, God, and be direct from Your Word. Encourage us tonight, Lord. I pray, God, if there's somebody here that doesn't know You, Lord, they'll even come to know You tonight, God. And for us who know You, Lord, I pray that we'll leave here closer to You than when we came. In Your name I pray. Amen. The title of my message tonight is Knowing God. And we're going to take a few moments tonight and look at some of the life of Moses. We're going to be from around Exodus chapter 32 to chapter 36. Now, I think most of you are familiar with the life of Moses, but I like that verse in Psalms 103. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel.
Right.
The children of Israel, they saw the 10 plagues, right? Yeah. They got to pass through the Red Sea. Yeah. But Moses had a special relationship with God. And so they saw, they experienced all that. They got to see what God did, but Moses got to understand the ways of God.
Right.
And I want to encourage us tonight, as we look in God's Word, to ask ourselves, do we know God the way that we should? Do we know God the way that we should? Now, most of you, you're familiar with the life of Moses. 400 years, the children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt. And God allowed little Moses to be born, and the Pharaoh at the time, they were killing all the newborn babies because the children of Israel were multiplying too much. And Moses' parents, the mother hit him in the bulrushes there in that little ark. And Pharaoh's daughter comes along and finds little Moses, and the sister speaks up. And long story short, Moses got to spend a few years with his mom. Then he spent the rest of his youth in Pharaoh's palace, right? Basically, a son to Pharaoh almost. And so he was there for 40 years. And the New Testament tells us he supposed that the people of Israel would understand that God was going to use him, but they didn't get it. And one day he saw one of his brethren being mistreated. He ended up killing a man, and then he ended up fleeing. After 40 years of growing up in Egypt, he fled to the wilderness, and he spent the next 40 years out there in the wilderness.
Right.
So then he's 80 years old, right?
Yeah.
And then God speaks to him from the burning bush. And he says, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. Moses gave all types of excuses why he couldn't do that. And God said, what's that in your hand, Moses? And he said, it's a rod. He said, throw it on the ground.
Right.
He threw it on the ground. It became a serpent. And that rod, that simple shepherd's stick, later became referred to as the rod of God.
Yes. Yes.
Moses goes back to Egypt, and he speaks to Pharaoh, and God hardens Pharaoh's heart, and they go back and forth, and the 10 plagues happen, and then the last plague is the Passover, and the firstborn son. I see your door frame up there tonight with the blood shed.
Right.
And then they go out of Egypt. They go to the Red Sea. They're boxed in. God parts the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is destroyed. They make their way to Mount Sinai. You got a group of people that had been slaves for 400 years. They weren't an army. They'd been slaves. They didn't know nothing about how to run a nation. And so God brings them to Mount Sinai to give them the law, to give them their constitution, how the nation of Israel was going to function. And so Moses makes his way up Mount Sinai. He leaves Aaron in charge. He takes Joshua with him. Joshua stays halfway up the Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up to the top of the mount. He spends 40 days in the presence of God. And the children of Israel are looking up there, and they see the thunder and they see the lightning, and up there God with his fingers inscribing on those stone tablets the Ten Commandments. And 40 days go by. In the midst of that 40 days, the children of Israel, they begin to wonder.
You're right.
You know, he's been up there a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe he ain't coming back again. And here's what they did. They took what God had blessed them with from Egypt. They took what God had blessed them with and they used it to make an idol to replace God.
Yes.
And I'm afraid many times we're guilty of the same thing.
Right.
God blesses us instead of keeping those things in the right place and realizing that those things are a gift from God to be used for His glory. We end up putting those things front and center in our life.
Yep.
If we're not careful, they can become an idol to us.
Yes.
I made a golden image of a calf, of a bull. They begin to worship that golden image, that golden bull, and they begin to dancing around and all types of immoralities taking place. And then we come to chapter 32, verse 19. It says this, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, and he brake them beneath the mount, and he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, Why, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?"
Yes.
We see from the passage, Moses, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Moses was a man that knew God. And number one tonight, if we truly know God, if we truly know God, it brings about a sense of moral clarity in our life.
That's right.
It brings about a sense of moral clarity in our life. We've got four kids now. Three of them are teenagers. Our oldest son's not here. He's about to start college, and he graduated a few months ago. You pray for my kids.
Yes.
And
yes,
bro. You pray for my kids. Pray for my family. Pray for my children. But growing up, as they've been growing up, I come to understand, and I learned it from my parents, I can't give them every situation that they're going to face and give them a rule to follow. Because there's too many different situations in life and different peer pressure that they're going to face. And I can't give them a verse for every single situation they're going to face, but you know what? If we can encourage our kids to truly know God to have a relationship with Him and to know what the Spirit of God is inside of them and feel the Spirit of God grieving them,
yes, brother,
it's going to bring about a sense of moral clarity.
Yes.
There's a man in Zambia, one of our church members there. He's from Burundi, actually. And he's kind of a refugee, and he ended up in Zambia. And he told me, "Pastor," he said, "before I got saved," because he can't have like formal employment with all his paperwork and all that. He can't have like formal employment. But he said, "before I got saved," he said, I had a little shop in the bus station, the big bus station there in Lusaka. He said, "and I was selling a lot of bad things." He said, they sell this, what they call junta alcohol. It's like 50% alcohol. He said, "I was selling that stuff." He said, "I was selling all these vices."
Right.
He said, "and I was making good money." He said, "I was making about $400 a month." And over there, that's a lot of money for these people. He said, but then I got saved. And he said, I got saved, and after a few days, I walked into my shop and I looked around and I saw all this alcohol. I saw all this filthy stuff. He said, and I saw these young men drinking it. He said, and I began to feel in my heart, I can't do this anymore. What happened there? He got to know God. Why is it that Moses, when he found out what was going on, he didn't put up with it
right
away? Why is that? Well, he just spent 40 days on the mountain.
Yes, brother.
Spent 40 days on the mountain with God. When we know God, it brings about a sense of moral clarity in our life.
Good.
We go to chapter 33. Chapter 33, verses 7. The Bible says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass, and listen to this, that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was out without the camp. Go down to verse 9, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. This is interesting to me. Moses is on the mountain. He finds out what's going on. He comes down. He breaks the stone tablets. He deals with the sin. 3,000 people actually are put to death that were standing against God. But everybody was kind of involved in it. Aaron was even involved in it. But what you see here, Moses knew God. He had a moral clarity about what was going on, that this isn't right. And what we see here now is Moses, because he knows God, he is now encouraging others to know God also. It says that everyone which sought the Lord. Moses comes down, he deals with the sin, he goes into the tabernacle. He's in there interceding on the people's behalf in the tabernacle. And now the people are standing outside their tent doors, everyone that is seeking after God.
Yes.
And it says in verse number 10, and all the people rose up and worshiped.
Right.
You see, when we know God, not only does it give us a moral clarity, it encourages other people to know Him also.
That's right.
Our daughter Avery, she's 8 years old. And, you know, we had family devotions growing up, and she's heard the gospel many, many times. About a month ago, the local church there in North Carolina had VBS. She went to VBS, and she went the first night. And that night, she came home, and I was in the shower. Danielle came and got me. She said, hey, we got to talk to Avery. And little Avery said, Mama, I want to get saved.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're careful with our kids being young.
Yes,
and I asked little Avery, I said, Avery, why do you feel like you need to get saved?
Yes.
She said, because I'm a sinner.
Oh, yes.
And I need to Jesus to forgive me of my sin. And that night, I got to see her call out to Jesus.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, she got saved that night. And about 20 minutes after she got saved, she tapped Danielle on the shoulder and she said, Mommy, she said, I want to bring some other kids to VBS tomorrow
night. Yes! Yes!
And we said, okay. We ended up inviting a couple neighbor kids. She had 3 visitors the rest of the week.
Go ahead.
There wasn't... What made her want to tell other people?
Go ahead. Yes.
She'd had an encounter with God.
Right.
I think about the woman at the well.
Oh, yeah.
The woman who came to the well with her water pot. And when she found out who Jesus was, she left her water pot. And she went out telling everybody what Jesus had done for her. When we know God, it encourages us to encourage others to know Him. Think about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. When he got a vision of God high and lifted up.
Go ahead, brother.
And God said, whom shall I send? Who will go? He said, here am I, send me. Do we know God Do we have that relationship with him tonight the way we should? That intimate relationship of knowing him in our life. When we know God, when we truly are close to God, it gives us a sense of moral clarity. It encourages others to know him. And then also, knowing God, it brings about a depth of relationship. Look at verse 11, chapter 33, verse 11.
Yes.
I love this passage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now they're in the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory cloud of God's in there. And Moses had spent 40 days on the mountain. And on the mountain it was, you know, fire and lightning and thunder and power. But now he's in the tabernacle. And the Bible says he's speaking to God like it's face to face. As a man speaks to his friend. Listen, God is high and lifted up.
Yes.
And we need to recognize his holiness.
Right.
And, you know, he's not our buddy. You know, I don't like that kind of talk.
Right, brother. Right.
But he is our Abba Father also.
Yes.
And Moses is in there, and Moses is, you know, he's upset. Of course, God's upset. And they're just in there. It's like they're just talking back and forth. I remember as a kid, my grandma, she's in heaven today, but I used to spend the night with my grandpa and grandma, and she used to work at the VA hospital, have to go into the hospital about 5:30 in the morning. And I remember sometimes laying back in my uncle's bedroom where he grew up, and around 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd hear a noise in the living room, and it was my grandma. And she'd be out there, and I'd listen sometimes, and sometimes she'd be crying. Sometimes she'd be wailing, and sometimes she'd be worrying out loud. Sometimes she'd be a little bit upset.
Go ahead.
But she spent about 30, 45 minutes every morning speaking to her God.
Amen.
As she was speaking to her father, her friend. You know, that's why the Bible says, you know, pray without ceasing. God,
yes.
God wants us to have a relationship with him where we can talk to him about everything. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Knowing God brings about a depth of relationship. In verse 13, he says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. We read in Psalms 103,
yes.
He made known his ways unto Moses. Why is that? Because Moses prayed about it here. He said, God, I want to know your way. And then he says, that I may know thee.
Right.
He spent 40 days on the mountaintop, but it wasn't good enough for Moses. He says, I want to know you. I want to know you even more. That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And of course, the Lord goes on to say, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. Moses said to God, God, if you're not going to go in the midst of us, I don't even want to go at all. In verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Moses said, Lord, I want to know thee. And that's great. And we should want to know God. But here's the blessing. God knows our name. He knows everything about us. He knows everything we've done. He knows everything we're going to do. And he loves us anyway. He knows our name. Moses speaks out. In the midst of all this, he's going for it now in verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, I'm begging you, Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. It wasn't enough for Moses. He wanted to know God more. I think about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 3. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung.
Yeah.
that I may win Christ. In verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The Apostle Paul, before he got saved, he was an important feller. He was Saul. I mean, he was an important guy. He traveled around with an entourage of people. Everybody wanted to be around him. He had the front seat wherever he wanted to go. And then he met Jesus. And his life got turned upside down. He went from traveling first class to traveling out windows through baskets. And he lost all that recognition, all that fame. But the Apostle Paul says, it doesn't matter anything. I count it as barnyard waste. It don't matter nothing to me. What's important to me is that I know Jesus Christ. Do we know God the way we should tonight? We know God. When it comes to things of morality, we're not going to be confused. It's going to bring moral clarity. We're going to want to tell others about him, encourage other people to know him. It's going to bring about a depth of relationship in our life. And finally tonight, number four, knowing God, it produces fruit in our lives. If we go to chapter 35, so Moses, he talks to God in the tabernacle, and God agrees now to go up with them into the promised land. In chapter 35, verse number 20, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him in, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments." Look at verse 29. "The children of Israel brought a willing," key word there, "willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." Go to chapter 36, verse number 5. "And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make." You see, because Moses knew God and he encouraged other people to know God, what do we see now? We see fruit. The people's involved. They're involved in what God is now doing, and they want to take part. And it's not Moses putting a guilt trip on them. It's not Moses threatening them. The Bible says they had a willing heart. It wasn't something that they had to do. It's something now they wanted to do. They wanted to be a part of what God was doing. They had a willing heart. Listen, if you're serving out a drudgery today, if you're serving out a, like Pastor would say, like, I got to go to church. If that's no way to live the Christian life. About the miserablest I've ever been is when I feel like I gotta do what I'm supposed to do. No, it's a blessing.
Yes.
We get to have a part of what God's doing on this earth. And when you know God, it begins to flow. It doesn't have to be forced. So knowing God, it brings moral clarity. When we truly know God, we encourage other people to know him. Our depth of relationship is deepened with God. And it produces fruit. Now, in the passage, something I noticed, and I've found this true to be in my own life. I love that passage where, you know, God puts him in the cleft of the rock and he says, you can't see my front part because no man can see that and live. And so God allows him to see the hinder parts. And, you know, that's at that point in time, that's when Moses said, show me, God, your glory. That was the pinnacle of his Christian walk.
Right.
And what I found looking back over my own life, and we've been in Zambia 13 years. And a lot of great things have happened. We've seen, you know, people saved, churches started, lives changed, people set free. But there's been difficulties also. And what led to Moses being placed in the cleft of the rock? the people he'd been leading, you know, the people he'd given his life for, you know, went through all that trouble in Egypt, crossed through the Red Sea, he makes his way to Mount Sinai, and it's like the first time he leaves them alone, everything just goes haywire. His own brother, who's supposed to be a spiritual leader, lets him down, right? And being in Zambia, we deal with power outages, civil unrest, disease, you know, all these things. But I can tell you this, those things are easy. The hardest time I've had in Zambia is when we spend years investing in a leader or in a person, and they fall by the wayside, fall into sin. And, you know, that's not stuff you put in your prayer letters and put on your slides. But I can tell you this, in those difficult times is when God's made himself the most real to me. And I think that's true for Moses right here. I mean, he's probably more let down coming off. He's out on the mountaintop, and he's let down. But even in the midst of that, I can't understand why God does everything he does. But in the midst of this tragedy, Moses got to experience God's glory. Paul in the New Testament, when he's writing to Timothy, he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." In verse 14, he says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." In verse 16, he says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me."
Oh, yes.
He went through some difficulties when people that he had invested in turned their back, and people that he had loved and suffered for didn't want to be around him.
Right.
And said bad things about him.
Yeah.
But he says in verse 17,
"Oh, yes.
Notwithstanding,
yes,
the Lord stood with me."
Hey.
"And strengthen me." Paul said, "When I'm weak, I'm made strong." And so for even for the Apostle Paul, in those difficulties, when it seemed like everything was going wrong, he got to know who Jesus Christ was in a better way. And I don't know what's all happened in your life tonight, what's all in people's past. People go through horrific things. And it's not okay when you're sinned against. But Jesus Christ is there in the midst of that. And he wants to draw you near to himself and reveal himself to you. Moses in Exodus, he didn't get to see God's face.
Right, brother.
He didn't get to go into the promised land.
Right.
Not then.
Right.
But when we go to the New Testament.
Yes.
On the Mount of Transfiguration,
my God,
in the Promised Land,
yes, sir,
Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, is transfigured, and the glory of God is revealed in all his glory. And God answered that prayer fully, and he got to see the glory of God in the Promised Land. Do you know God the way you should deny it? Number one, that starts with salvation, of course. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you don't know him at all. And I would urge you tonight to come down to this altar and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sin. And for those of us who are born again, don't you think we could know him better? Don't you think we could spend a little bit more time with him and get to the place where we can say, "Lord, God, I want to know you. I want to experience. I want to understand your ways. I want to see your glory, God." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you tonight and I thank you for your goodness and grace. And Lord, I pray that you would use the message to speak to hearts, God. Help us to truly know you, God. Not just know about you, not just know what you've done, Lord, but know your ways. Lord, help us to truly know you. Help us not to fake it, God. But help us to truly know you. In Jesus' name I pray.